Blog Talk Radio.
Multiple choice parenting.
You accidentally cut your daughter's bangs unevenly. Do you A, line things up a centimeter from her hairline?
Man, oh man.
No, sweatbands are so hot right now. Everyone's wearing them. Like that basketball player and that other basketball player.
B, it's spiritual.
Mom, where did all the mirrors go?
A reflection could never capture our true selves.
Huh?
Beauty is within?
C, look on the bright side.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or D, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
to. Ta-da! Twinsies!
I kinda love it. As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Rock your locks. Baby girl, where your heart been? I see you looking cute while you had your locks in. Wanna roll with me, baby? Come see. Enjoy it like it's a breeze in palm trees. Wanna talk about it, baby? We can take it there. I love the way you smell and the way you wear your hair. We can go around the world, maybe everywhere. Shining brighter than a diamond, baby girl, you wear. Rock your locks. Rock your locks. Rock your locks, rock your locks, rock your locks, rock your locks.
You be on hot. I see you looking real good with your lock knots. You locked up like we about to skip bail. She rock a updo with a fishtail, dabbles and such. And it looks so good, she like, please don't touch. I love when you rock them curls, and this is for all my girls who
rock. Your locks, rock your locks, rock your locks, rock your locks, rock your locks.
More than my best friend. We can talk about anything to the end. Sometimes we don't know where to begin. Around the world, baby girl, like a whirlwind. Make her say wow, like we going downtown. After when she finna come, she said now. Like a superhero, I give her the pow. And I'ma put it on my baby to be passed out while I rock your locks.
Rock your locks.
Rock your locks. Baby.
Listening to the Black Coffee Show with your host, Black Coffee, and your co-host, me, The Next Level, on WAMRDB, Atlanta Mix Radio. We're coming to you every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern.
All right, good afternoon, good evening. You're on the Yanni Red Show WAMRDV. We're talking about absence parenting tonight. We want to thank everybody for tuning in to Yanni Red. This is a discussion about absent parents, whether it's mom or dad who is absent from the home, children without one or both parents at their home with them, they suffer. Some feel the effect tremendously and others are less. But many children suffer in life due to the absence of parents in the home. In a perfect world, all children with life in happy homes with two loving, doting parents who are comfortable both financially and emotionally turn out pretty good. However, in reality, much different is this fantasy, which means that all children have the same home life opportunities as others, but emotionally lacking that, financially, are opportunities that host and scorn children. Child support issues, voice your concern about parenting, deadbeat parents, single parents. We're asking for you all to call in. We have callers in from 404-567, 404-65-695, and caller from 901-440. Thank you and welcome to the discussion tonight. Please state your name and where you're calling from area code 404-567.
Hey, this is Yanni.
Great, Yanni, welcome to
567 tonight.
Yeah, working it. I got a caller from 404-695. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Black Coffee calling from Atlanta.
All right, I got a 901 area code 440. State your name and where you're calling from.
This is Erin, and I'm calling from Memphis, Tennessee.
Now that's what I'm talking about. Right across the border from the Arkansas, we can go gamble right out there by the tower there, that little pyramid. You know, right on across there and get loose and money. I did it. I was right across Memphis. I didn't even know I got into Arkansas. And I lived in that casino right there by the pyramid. When you go across where the pyramid crossing is, and crossed over to Arkansas. I didn't know. I lost all my little money in the little casino right there. But thank you guys for tuning in to Yanni Red. I am a co-host, Karima Ali Bowens, and I want to thank you all. I want to also bring in our host and producer for this show tonight, Yanni Red. Yanni, this is a great subject. Thank you for bringing this up because we got these real strong issues that affect our children.
Yes. Yeah, it really does. And me being a single parent myself, you know, I just wanted to kind of talk about it, bring some light to the subject. And, you know, especially if you have parents that are newly experiencing the single parent life, because, you know, a lot of times before the children, you're not, certain things don't matter, I guess, in situations as far as responsibilities and things like that. A lot of times people don't realize that they're with someone who's going to abandon the responsibility. And so, you know, you're left with raising a child, you know, alone a lot of times. And child support doesn't always cover it, and sometimes they don't even go after the father. And so you may find yourself just going to court or taking days off of your own job, you know, to pursue the payments and never receive them. So I just wanted to kind of get some of the stories of not just bad stories, but even good stories where parents are co-parenting, because I feel that it could help some other parents who are really having a hard time co-parenting. I don't know what it is about once you have the children, but a lot of times people start hating each other at that very moment right there. So, you know, just wanted to bring some light to the subject. I wanna invite Erin on. Erin is a member of Team Yanni Red in Memphis, and she is a single parent. And you know, we just wanted to kind of hear from her to find out what her experience is like with co-parenting, child support, and being a single parent.
Well, hey, how y'all doing? First of all, I don't co-parent well. I've been a single parent for like, I guess, the last 10 years.
Wow.
My son, and I have one son in college, and he went on a full musical scholarship.
Awesome.
And by the way, both of them are autistic.
Wow, so that's even harder.
Yeah, and I had to find ways to, in both of them are male, to keep them motivated and keep them out of the street. And I did that by myself, and it was hard because I received no child support from one father. And the other father was the type that come every 2-3 years and show up and give money, and then you won't see him again for another 2-3 years, even
wow.
though he may be right down the street. So, with that being said, the system, back to the child support system. My youngest son's father has been on child support for the last 8 years, and I'm
you saying he hasn't been on it, which means you haven't filed it against him, or he hasn't paid it, or what happened with that?
I filed it against him, but they never caught up. When they caught up with him, that they only actually put the order in for maybe 8 years, which he owes back pay for maybe $26,000.
Wow.
And he's only paid in $350.
He's only paid $350 in all of these years?
In all of these years.
Wow.
He only told me when they locked him up in court. And I don't think that's fair to me. And the judge last time asked me, did I accept the $100 payment that he was offering? And I told her no, ma'am. Because my son is 14 years old. He's autistic. He has special needs. And $100? No, man.
So in the state that you live in, are they going by the father's income, or are they looking at what it costs to have a child that age? Is it just basically the father's income?
They go by the father's income. But they have so many programs out here that he can get jobs, that he can work, but they're not enforcing that he, you know, do that. But on the mother's case, when she has to go ask for help and ask for assistance, they make her go to school just to receive any type of assistance.
Right. Right, and I did have a issue with that too, you know, because they always they want to put the mom through school and this and that, and it seems like the fathers get a break. But just say if the fathers didn't get a break, and they had to put the fathers, you know, they would put them through school or whatever, and they decide they're not going to do it. So, you know, it's kind of like looking at it two different ways, where at least they do allow you a program where if the father or the other parent is not there, then you can still get benefits.
Well, that's true, but I just disagree with the fact that you don't know my story. I'm asking for help for one child, or asking for help here, and I can't work at this present time. I can't go to school because I have this child at home that has needs, and I don't have the help coming in to help me with that. So I don't think that's fair.
Right.
So then I'm denied assistance from the government, and then they're not enforcing or putting, you know, strings on him.
Right,
so he's
on the
not
father.
Right.
So basically the system of child support and enforcing the other parent to be active in a child's life, whether it be financially or time spent or whatever, is just not working for you, basically.
No, ma'am. And I also, my oldest son's father, I said that he would come by here and there, but that was by, you know, his choices. But it was also for the safety of the child because, you know, his lifestyle. So me choosing him to be absent because he wouldn't give up a lifestyle was a choice I made. And he's
okay.
serving time right now due to that choice of that lifestyle.
So you're saying that you would rather him stay away from the child than to expose him to the criminal life and just that way of life for him as a role model for your son?
My son is in college, and I think that his other children aren't in college, but they follow the lifestyle that they saw him doing. And I kept that away from mine, and he excelled. He didn't go into the street life. He didn't see the riches of the streets and choose those. He chose the books. He chose the music. He chose, you know, his future over living right now.
Yeah, I wanna commend you because it's such a hard job having to be a single parent anyway, and then to have it where, you know, you actually succeed and your sons are successful. They're not being a part of the system. They're not in trouble. I just want to commend you for that. And I want to go to a commercial break real quick. We got some words from our sponsor. We'll be back in a couple seconds. Stay tuned.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Yanni Red Show on WAMRDB. We're talking about absent parenting. We are returning back to the show. We're talking about absent parenting with a roundtable discussion. Some of the things that affect some of the parents, the behaviors of absent parents, those are the things that we're talking about. And we're bringing back Ms. Yanni Red Thompson on the show. And we also have another caller, Jackie Nickens, who works for DFACT, I believe, or the state. And we wanted to try to bring her into the show right now to talk about some of the sex that you've seen, Ms. Nickens, regarding absence parenting as well, as Yanni Red introduces the show back in there. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. So we're back, and this is Yanni Red, and this is Dreadful Thoughts Talk Radio. Here we talk about the things that may be on your mind, but you might not have anybody else to talk about it with. Those are some of the subjects we want to go over, and definitely always about uplifting our community. And today we're talking about absent parenting in relation to how it affects the children, and just want to hear some of the stories that you have. And also want to invite some people who are successfully co-parenting together, because we want to believe that everybody would love to have a relationship that is not detrimental to a child's life. We want to get along. We want to provide the best experience possible in our children's childhood. So we definitely want to talk about some ways that we can make it a better situation. So I want to bring my guest in.
Good evening. Jackie Nickens, a.k.a. Black Coffee. My show, Black Coffee Talk, is on Friday nights at 9 on WAMRDB. So we're family. I wanted to have just kind of say my piece with regard to that, because believe it or not, this is something that I have extensive experience with on the other side, being a child with absentee parents. Both my parents were absent, and for my growing up, for most of the time, and my experience with work, I became a social worker and then worked in the foster care system. So there are things about this that we have to, you know, I know the child support and the financial support is very important, but even more important is this child's image of themselves because of their absent parent. And I can tell you from personal experience growing up, especially with my mother not being present. My grandparents did, you know, the best they could, but it makes you wonder, it makes a child who has these parents that are not there for them wonder what's wrong with them, that their parents couldn't love them enough to do what was necessary to be in their life. That's a tape that plays in that child's head forever. I ain't gonna tell y'all how old I am, cause it ain't your business. But I've been grown for a long time, and I still, and my mother has passed away, and we did a lot of repairing to our relationship before she passed. But at the same time, I still, at this age, have to fight that tape of what is wrong with me. So, you know, as we look at that when we're parenting, we can mitigate some of that by working on children's self-esteem, even in foster care, you know, to make sure that they are in situations where their self-esteem can be lifted, regardless of what their limitations are financially, even intellectually and developmentally. We have to make sure that children's self-esteem is strong, because that is what will bring them through it. And I heard the young lady speaking before about her son being in college and doing. And I don't know if she can validate what I'm saying about what she put into him, in spite of the fact that his father was not exactly someone that should have been a part of his life with his lifestyle. But what she put into him as far as his self-esteem went, and allowing him to believe in himself. So I don't know if she's still on the line, but I wanted to know if that was a part of, you know, raising a successful son, especially, you know, a mother raising a son, allowing him to believe in himself and encouraging himself. Was that a part of?
You guys got a couple callers from area code 708-510. You can state your name and where you're calling from and call it from 478-318. State your name and where you're calling from to join the discussion.
Hi, this is 478. This is 478-318. My name's Kiari. I'm from Stockbridge, Georgia.
Awesome. So we're trying to find out, are you co-parenting? Are you a single parent? Are you married? And, you know, just what's a little bit of your experience and anything that you can offer that will give hope to some parents that may be going through the same thing.
Yeah, so I originally started off as a single parent. I was a single parent for about 4 years. Then I met my husband, and my son's biological father is not involved in his life at all. So when I met my husband, he basically picked up the ball and took off with it. As far as my son is concerned, he's the only father that he knows, calls him daddy when he's having a rough day at school or when he's, you know, wanting to talk about, you know, whatever, you know, doing from Boy Scouts to sports to all of the things that I can't teach him as a woman. My husband has filled in the gap in a major way. He treats him as though he's his own biologically, and we've even discussed going through the process of him adopting him legally. So I've experienced single parenthood. I've experienced parenthood in both ends of the spectrum. With my son's biological father, he was not in a position where his lifestyle was questionable. His lifestyle was not a safe lifestyle for my son. So I made the decision. I did give him plenty of opportunities to be involved, but I ultimately made the decision for my son's protection to do it by myself, you know. And, again, you know, there was a lot of stuff that I was able to do as a woman, as a mother, and being nurturing and teaching him different things academically, mentally, spiritually, but there are some things that was a struggle for me to teach him just as a woman to a little boy. But
so let me ask this question. Is it more of a, because I'm hearing from both stories that the men were not necessarily safe role models for the children. So when you're dating a man who is not a role model, I mean, did he become that after, you know, was it,
mm-mm.
or is it that your needs changed, you know, because what makes us as women have babies with men that we don't feel are having, you know, that we don't feel are good, that, you know, are good role models or that would be a good parent? Do you feel like, and then in choosing a new man who actually is a good role model and taking your son, was there anything that, or can you just, say some of the things that changed in you that made you want to be in a different type of relationship? Because we have a lot of women who have 4 and 5 babies by different men that none of them are taking care of the child. So what is it that changed in you that made you have to look for a man, you know, or how did you guys meet or whatever, for him to be a father and a great role model to your son?
Well, with my son's biological father, he was never anyone I envisioned having a child by.
Okay.
So my original baby, he was an oopsie baby. So, and also with him, you know, his biological father was diagnosed with bipolar disorder before I met him, and he was one of the type people who did not believe in taking the medication that's supposed to help him with his disorder, and
wow.
he would self-medicate through weed and alcohol, which is a dangerous combination. He's been hospitalized because of it before. He's a big guy. You know, he's probably about 6'5". He looks like John Coffey, so he's a big dude, you know. And just not having the mental stability or the responsibility and, you know, recognizing that mental health is real and you need to take care of yourself, you know, that in itself was not healthy, you know.
I'm asking, like, are there any, like, let's just say that I'm a young woman, I don't have any children, mm-hmm. and I'm with this guy, and we get pregnant. Should I, you know, I mean, we can plan on getting pregnant these days, but what are some of the things that might be a red flag to the fact that this person may not be a responsible parent when you have a baby with them? I'm just seeing what
how
are the differences.
How they take care of themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was using the example with my son's biological father because, like, looking at how he takes care of himself, how he takes care of his business, you know, just as an adult, you know, that's going to be a huge indicator of how he is with a child. And with that also, you know, give them opportunities to step up and be responsible and see, even if there's some growing that has to be done, because, you know, none of us have kids and we're just automatically, well, we don't know it all. You know what I'm saying? There's room for growth. So
right. Kids
even
don't
giving
come
somebody,
with instructions.
Exactly, you
mom.
Know. Exactly. But, you know, at least are you showing potential for wanting to grow? You get what I'm saying? So looking at how a person, their lifestyle, how they're handling themselves as an adult, taking care of themselves, you know, taking care of their business. And also, you know, when you give them opportunities to be involved with the child's life, you know, just calling to say, hey, how you doing? You know, it's not always about money. You know, stuff happens. Sometimes you won't have the money, but do you at least call the child just to see how you're doing? You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So for me, those were huge indicators for me, and that was one of the biggest differences between my son's biological father and my husband. My husband
now, let me
was
ask
busy
you this.
And the
does
child's
your
father,
son,
and he would call. Mm-hmm.
Does he ever miss his dad? Because, you know, sometimes there's still, you know, the new parent doesn't replace the absent parent, and sometimes the child kind of misses the absent parent or feels like they're trying to take the place of their parent. Does your son go through anything like that at all, or has it just been
mm-hmm.
smooth sailing since he got a positive role model in his life?
Well, see, here's the thing. His biological father was never involved in his life to a place where my son can remember him. You know what I'm saying? I was trying, I gave him opportunities up until, you know, my son was about 2. So, you know, he doesn't remember any of that. And even the times that he would come around, you know, it wasn't mm-hmm. frequent enough to have a lasting effect on my son. So my son, literally, all he only remembers is just me and mommy, you know?
Right. Okay. Okay, so this is one story of a great ending, even though it's not with the biological father, but just having a great role model in your son's life. I want to commend you on that and for taking it upon yourself to make the decision for your child. And I just want to say, if how do any of you guys feel about that, as far as you know, a lot of people have children when they're young, and so they're not equipped to be parents, or they may not have had their own parents in their own life, and so they just react, you know, in that way. They kind of run from the responsibility from not having a father or a mother, you know, in their own life. So one thing about it too is like me myself, I know that my first child I had at 15, and I was 15 and the father was 15. And so he did stick around for the first 3 years of our relationship. But after that, he had no relationship with my daughter really at all. And I see that, you know, it's I see the effects that it had with him not being there. Because one thing about fathers with little girls is that fathers actually give them courage. Is one of the things that I think that kids get from their father, because daddy's like the big warrior man who protects you from everything. And when he's not there, there are instances when the kids just feel scared or unprotected. And so, you know, one of the effects that my daughter, that she did, she grew up kind of angry at times, you know, and just very focused. I must say, though, that she is... she's focused now on her just becoming a great adult. She doesn't have any children. She's a CDL driver, and she's a real go-getter. She came straight out of high school when it's a culinary school. After that, she decided she wanted to work on cars, so she did that a year, and she became a licensed auto mechanic. And then after that, she decided she wanted to do CDL. So she's basically, I would say she turned out great. She's a successful young woman. And then I have my middle daughter, who's 15, who actually lives with her dad now, you know, back home in New Jersey. And so I feel that now that she's 15, that, you know, it's time to be with your mom, because certain things that fathers instill, I just feel like it's done. And when they get to around between 15 and 18, I feel like the mom's influence is very much needed, especially with proms and just learning about makeup and just how to carry yourself as a woman. So we're discussing the possibility of her coming to live with me. And I want to take a small break and come back, and we'll talk about this subject a little more: absent parenting, co-parenting, and child support.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
About it, baby, we can take it there. I love the way you smell and the way you wear your hair. We can go around the world, maybe everywhere. Shining brighter than a diamond, baby girl, you rare. Rock.
Hi, we're back. This is Yanni Red, Dreadful Thoughts 101 Radio. on WMAR, the Beat. And we're talking about absent parents. We're talking about our own experiences with parenting, with child support, with co-parenting. And I wanted to just talk about some of the things because I'm in Georgia now. I was in New Jersey. In some of the states where child support is, when child support issues come, the way they actually do child support or figure the payment is by the absent parent's income. But here in Georgia, they figure it by the cost of living for a child that age, which I think is awesome. And they seem to enforce the laws a little more, where if you go more than 30 days without providing food, shelter, clothing, or anything to your child, then that's automatically becomes a felony. So when we have these parents that are not, when we have these parents that are not contributing to the welfare of the child, they have already committed a felony, and so of course they're gonna go to jail. So, you know,
right.
I think
that's here in Georgia.
That's
here in Georgia. But they can't
it
pay
is.
It. But up north, there's no penalty for abandoning your children like that, that level.
Not that I know of. I don't want to say there's not. But I know for a fact they don't really go after the fathers too much for the child support unless the mother is really being a pain in the neck to the court. That's the only time that I have seen them strictly enforce that, you know, the father would pay child support. Or once the balance of his child support arrears got extremely astronomical, sometimes they would lock the father or the mother up. But, you know, again, I guess it's a case-by-case, state-by-state basis.
Right. Right. We got some other callers in from the 478. The 901 person just came back to the phone. I want to welcome them back to the call. Area code 478.
Welcome back, Aaron.
And 708 as well. I think that's Chicago, right? Thought it was. And then we also have
708 in Chicago.
So we got a roundtable discussion. I'd like to ask anyone else to comment about what we're talking about.
Any other callers want to let us know about your parenting situation?
What? Yeah, everybody got good fathers on the phone? Okay. Well, let me just.
How do you speak in the call?
Like you're doing now.
Just speak.
Oh, can you hear me? Okay. I had my phone on mute because I didn't want my background interrupting you guys. The 708, that's Star, that's me. I did want to come in because actually I was just discussing that in the salon before I made it home. So it was ironic you guys were talking about this subject because I'm married. I have my stepson that stays with us. His mom, she doesn't do too much as far as co-parenting. And he's been with us for over a year now. And I've noticed a dramatic change in his attitude since he's been living with us. So I've just been speaking with my husband on things that we could do, you know, to cheer him up and
is
keep his spirit
high. Is
this
a change in attitude for the worse or for the better?
For the worse. For the worse. And I think my husband and I are pretty good role models as far as doing activity with the kids. We have them in different sporting events. We take them places. We do things with them. He takes them on his job site with him. But I told him, you know, I'm his stepmom, and there's only so much affection that I think that he would take from me because I think that, like you guys were saying earlier, I can't replace what his mom did for him. My hug won't ever feel like her hug. And so I've noticed a change, like, his attitude, his grades actually dropped. He's an A student. He got his first D 2 weeks ago. So I suggested to my husband that, you know, we pull her in as much as we can to see why is it that she's not as involved with him, even if it's every weekend, popping up at his school, doing activities with him. If he has a science project coming up, we call her. We let her know about it so that she can just, even if it's a visual face-to-face, if it's not face-to-face, just a visual, because we have video chats. It's other ways to communicate if you can't physically show your presence. And so I've noticed that we have kids, my husband and I, so they are his half-brothers and sisters. He is not nice to them. He's very mean to them, and I'm not sure if it's because he sees the affection that my husband and I give and he can't get from his mom. So I think he acts out due to his mom missing. And yeah. I try to show him as much affection as I can and to be authoritative as well because he stayed with us too. But I tell my husband, I think that's only so much that I could do when it comes to discipline without crossing a certain line.
I would like to make a comment, if I may. I don't know if you heard. I am a social worker. This is Black Coffee, Jackie Nickens, but AKA Black Coffee. But I am a social worker, and I would like to make a few suggestions, if that's okay with you.
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
I had spoken before, especially with the missing mother, you know, I had spoken before about the fact that I experienced that, my mother not being there. And what I feel is going on from not only my personal experience, but also my experience as a social worker, is he is, you're absolutely right, he's acting out. But a part of it is because he feels worthless, and he feels like you feel he's worthless. So, you know, because, you know, what's wrong with me that my mother couldn't love me enough to do what she needed to do for me to be with her?
Okay.
Is going to be what's playing in his mind. The other thing I want to recommend is you're absolutely right. There is only so much you can do. My recommendation is, if it's at all available, that the entire family go at least twice a month to, and what I mean by entire family, you can't force her to be a mother if she, you know what I'm saying, if the love of her child had done it. So just be appreciative of what she do and don't worry about the rest. But as far as the household that where he's living with you, to see about getting into some counseling so he can express it so that he can be reassured, because there are adjustment issues right now, boundary testing, and he's dealing with a great feeling of rejection, and he's anticipating y'all rejecting him. So he's trying to make it happen before y'all can do it.
Okay.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense because I took a few psychology classes, not to say that I'm a psychologist, but I told my husband, you know, he does little things just to test us to see how far he could go. And he's just been doing a little bit at a time,
absolutely,
a little bit at a time. And then now we're on a year, it's been a year, and he feels like, okay, I did this and nothing happened. I did this and nothing happened. So I told my husband,
no,
what's going to be next? It's not going to be good because it's getting worse. It's getting worse and it's getting worse. Like, for example, today, he's very sneaky with the things that he does, and he thinks that no one noticed. And so we were in a salon today, and I was saying, you know, it's time to clean up, time to go. And I saw him twist my little son's wrist, and he started crying, and he whispered to him, don't you say nothing, and don't you cry loud, like, you know, little stuff like that. And I'm like, you know, it's starting to get to that point that it's really bad. Now he's putting his hands on them. First, it was just the meanness, you know, not being nice to them, not talking to them. Like, if they come in from school, they'd be like, hi, you know, they're babies. They're excited to see you come home. Hi, how was your day? He won't respond. He won't say anything. So it went from that. Now it's physical. And it's like,
And think about it. He hates them because they have their mother. So, like I said, this is going to be something that you need professional help with, obviously. The other thing I want to say is make sure there are clear and consistent consequences. You're going to get tired as far as implementing those consequences, but he has to have those boundaries. And somebody professional, if you don't feel comfortable with, you know, exactly what to put in, that's where professional help, as far as a counselor is concerned, can help as well, to draw up a plan that works for your family. And it'll be somebody that you can call on if you try this and this isn't working, they can make a recommendation based on what they know of you guys personally.
Hey, may I say something? This is something I just pulled up off the internet about behavior affects the absence of parents. It says, according to Edward Kirk, he's a PhD and an associate professor of social work at the University of British Columbia, children with absent fathers are more likely to develop behavior problems. These problems are often a shield that kids use to protect their deep issues of abandonment, fear, and unhappiness. For example, a child living with a fatherless home is more likely to develop a careless attitude with a cocky swagger and mean persona to hide the fact that he really wants his father in his life. So I think what Jackie just did was actually reverse that, because that's the effect
right.
that's happening to the young man now.
And it's even worse when it's a mother. Society, you know, talks about a mother's love, and you see, you know, mothers everywhere, even if the father isn't there loving their children. The mothers are there loving their children. Can you imagine what it's like seeing that, where even when the daddy ain't there, the mother is there, and your mother isn't there? So it's tenfold.
In this situation, would you say that it might be healthy for her and him to kind of spend some time together?
Definitely, to be able to have some special time with him. One of the other things, and thank you, Yanni, because one of the other things I was going to add is that you have to make sure that he knows that you love him.
Right, as his stepmom.
You know, right. And it's okay to say things like, look, your mother and her problems ain't got nothing to do with you. You're a wonderful child. I love you, and I'm going to do what I can for you. But when you wrong, I'm going to get in there behind. And it's okay to be that. It's okay to be that. Believe, honey, let me tell you, I've raised, the other part I didn't tell you is I've raised children without fathers and without mothers within my own family. And I understand. I raised my brother, and my brother was angry a lot of the time. And there were times where I just had to grab him and hug him and tell him, no, I will hit you in the head with a crowbar and do some time before I let the streets have you.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus.
You know, I mean,
I love that kind of violent discipline. I love that kind of violent discipline, because, you know, even just growing up where I did, my daughter, she had me. I mean, and my parents, you know, so my dad was like a dad to her. But she had a lot of friends who didn't have their parents. And so a lot of times they would want to hang at the house and this and that. And, you know, I just treat all of them like they my kids. You know, and it just gives them
exactly.
a sense of belonging. And so, and not only
that's
that, when they do
that
wrong.
That's where self-esteem comes in. That's
yeah, and,
that
when you, and when they do wrong, you still got to deal with them, because you know, you want to let them know that there's no difference. The good side and
right.
the bad side. The
right.
good side
I
is
you
still got a mother.
Ugly.
Yeah,
right.
that I still love you, but the bad side right. is that I will break your damn neck off if I have to.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's what a mom is going to do. That's what a parent's going to do.
Right. And, you know, I told him, when I told him that thing about the crowbar, hitting him in the head with the crowbar, I said, I love you enough to do time for hitting you in the head before I let the streets have you, because I don't want to see the streets do to you what it can do to you.
Right. Right.
And to be able to let them know that what you're doing is out of love. Like I said, there's still going to be issues because you will never be able to stop that tape from playing in the back of their heads. They're going to reject me because my mama did. What's so wrong with me that my mama couldn't love me enough? That is a tape that plays in these children's heads.
All righty then. All right. You know, you guys, this has been a wonderful show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Yanni Red Show. We got about a few minutes left. Yanni has a great amount of information that she wants to share with you about some upcoming possibilities with sponsorship, advertising, and she has a series that's coming up. Of training classes is coming up. So, Yanni, please let everybody know. We got about 4 minutes left into the show. What's going on and how they can just keep involved with you?
Well, you could keep involved with me, for one, by following me on Facebook, and the name is Yanni Thompson. I use my personal page on Facebook as a business page. So, you know, that is a personal page. My business page is Yanni Red on there, and that's YONNIRED. And one thing that I do, I mean, I grew up in the ghetto, and so there were a lot of absent parents among my peers. And as I got older, I kind of turned into like a mom for a lot of the kids who lived in the complex that I did. And so I started, you know, doing hair, and I would always keep somebody with me, like to be an assistant or whatever. And so they would earn money, you know, they liked coming to the shop, it was fun. And then as it kind of blossomed, it turned into what I do now, which is teach people how to do dreadlocks. And believe it or not, it's one of the most empowering things that you can do is to teach someone how to beautify someone else, because what I do, it creates self-esteem in not only the stylist, but definitely in the clients, which kind of impacts the community. So, you know, that's one thing. Just providing job training for something that's so easy to do and so quick. And the reason why I actually do teach people also is to protect the consumers as far as people that wear dreadlocks, because we're dealing with a lot of myths and a lot of people that really just don't have a clue on how to do hair care or whatever. So I feel like that's one of the other things that kind of affects us too, because just as black people with our hair, the whole natural versus relaxer thing is just another thing. So just as parents, we're dealing with so much more than just whether there's an absent parent or not. So, you know, I'm just also I'm touring. My tour starts February of 2017, doing 12 cities. I'm actually coming to Chicago twice, and I chose to come to Chicago two times because a lot of the violence that's going on in Chicago, we're actually offering two people that are homeless or in transitional housing a free master loctician training so that they can get some job skills. And we're going to do that in every city on the tour. So if you want to donate or become involved, a sponsor or whatever, you can go to my website, which is YanniRed.com, and check out the sponsors page. And we got a couple of different little activities or people that you can sponsor that want to become master locticians. And the great thing about this is that robots will never take their job, and that it's so easy to get a job as a hairstylist, especially as a loctician. And one of the even more awesome things is that it could be a work from home situation. So, because a lot of people, they go through job training and they may get a little lost in the system because of other things that they may lack as far as appearance or whatever. So this is one where you can actually make your own hours. It's super flexible. It's great for single parents. So, you know, just a great program,
Yanni,
to get involved in.
Yanni.
All right.
This
well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so sorry, but we're about to get out of here. Please join us tomorrow on Black Coffee Talk. And I apologize for cutting you off, but we have only about 30 seconds left. So you guys have a great night, and we will tune in.
Give
maybe
Yanni
next
my
week.
Number and let her call me.
Oh, you tell Yanni to call you.
Okay, I heard. And good night, everybody. This was a great show.
Good night.
For tuning in.
Good night.
Bye.